precious word. Thank you, Father, that you will help us to understand the words that you inspired men to write. Help us, O God, prepare our hearts to receive what you have for us in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, we give you thanks. Thank you, Father, for the anointing to preach and teach this afternoon, that I will not speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I will speak under the anointing and power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now, last week, what did I say we're gonna look at today? Let me see if you can remember. What did I say we're going to deal with today? Nobody can remember. It's all about grace, but what is it about? It's grace in something. The grace of generosity. The grace of generosity. The only reason why you and I can be generous is because we serve a generous God. We serve a generous God, and God is generous with his grace, and he is generous with his love. He is generous with everything that he has. Hallelujah. The grace of generosity is only found in Jesus. True generosity is only found in Jesus. And because he lives in us, he wants to express that generosity through us. And when I talk about generosity, I'm not talking about just financial generosity. I'm talking about generosity in every area of our lives. Hallelujah. Generosity with your time. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your talent. Be generous with your abilities. Be generous with your energy. Be generous in every area of your life. Because God is that way. That's the way God is. But we're going to start with generosity in giving, the grace of giving. Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth that they should make sure that they also excel in the grace of what? Giving. So we start with the grace of giving. You know the depths of one's love for God and for a person. You want the toilet? But go to rent. So, you know the depths of one's love. You know the depths of one's love by their degree of giving. Yeah? You know the depths of one's love by their degree of giving. You know if someone loves you by the way they give to you, especially themselves, because it's easy to just buy stuff, especially if you have the money. You know the depths of one's love by the degree of giving. If a person says, I love you, I love you, I love you, they don't give to you, that's just talk. Talk is cheap. You want to see action. Now, there are three things that we are to build our lives on. Three things that we are supposed to build our lives on. Number one, we are supposed to build our lives on integrity. Number two, we are supposed to build our lives on humility. Number three, we are supposed to build our lives on generosity. Did you catch it? What is number one? Number two? Number three? It's getting very silent as we went down the list. Three ways of giving. God wants us to give sacrificially, God wants us to give joyfully, and God wants us to give graciously. Okay, repeat it to me. God wants us to give. God wants us to give. That's the third. What's the second? Joyfully. So God wants us to give. God wants us to give sacrificially. God wants us to give joyfully. God wants us to give graciously. Hallelujah. I'm going to build on all these things that I'm mentioning to you right now. The grace of generosity is found in Jesus. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You'll be glad you came to church today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to read. In fact, Brother Everton, can you read for me, please? What translation have you got? Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Listen as Brother reads, please.
Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern sending along with him the prophet who is preparing my
Okay, thank you, Brother Everton. That should be enough. Hallelujah. This is Apostle Paul, and I'm sure most of you know about this, what's happening. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So the church of Corinth was actually in Macedonia. Where is Macedonia today? Greece. Macedonia is in Greece. So this was, the church at Corinth was part of Greece. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. So, Apostle Paul, here he was taking offering for the church, the mother church. Can you imagine? The mother church in Jerusalem. The mother church in Jerusalem. It's endured, was going through a period of poverty. There was lack and they were suffering. So, Apostle Paul decided to take offerings from all his, the churches he has planted to take to the mother church in Jerusalem. He wanted to take it personally. So he was saying of this church, verse 2, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. In other words, he's saying that even though they themselves were poor, they themselves, you know, had needs, yet they gave out of their need. They gave out of their poverty. So that tells us that, you see, giving doesn't only have to happen when you have abundance. You can give out of your need. You can give out of your poverty. And you see this demonstrated in most of the third world countries. I've heard so many stories where missionaries go, especially the Europeans, they go and they are blown away that the people are so poor and yet they are ever giving. They're so liberal. And they will give you whatever they have. Sometimes they give you live chicken. They give you whatever. They don't. Oh, they are, you know, they plant yam. They'll give you yam, they're plantain, whatever. Their produce, they give their substance. They share their substance with you. And that's what Apostle Paul is describing here. They gave out of their need. They gave out of their poverty. And he said they gave with joy. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful. They gave with joy. They were excited about the opportunity they have to give. We don't have to give and make our face as if we've been baptized in lemon juice. Give cheerfully. He said they gave out of their poverty with joy. Hallelujah. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality, that's generosity. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. You have to be willing to give. So you give willingly, you give cheerfully, and you give out of even your own need. Hallelujah. Even God gives out of, God has everything, but in sending Jesus, he gave out of his need. His need was to save mankind. And out of that need, he sent Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you catch that? Out of his need, he sent Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave. So when you have a need, That is the time to give, because giving sets receiving into motion. So God wanted more sons like Jesus. So he gave the only one that he had so that he can receive more. But a lot of times, because we don't understand, you see, the fear of lack, the fear of not having enough, so we grip tight to the little that we have. You are afraid that you may not have any more. So you hold on with your dear life. I won't let go. And once you hold on tight, God can't even bless you, because receiving, you have to be willing to receive. Hallelujah. So they gave out of their need, and they were joyful about it. And of their poverty, they were liberal. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability. Grace always goes beyond your ability. So they gave beyond what they are able to do. That is the kind of giving that pleases God. Not when someone is, you know, using all kinds of tricks to get your money. They gave because God was in it. God touched their heart. So they gave beyond their ability. Grace always goes beyond our abilities. That is when you know it's the grace of God. They gave beyond what they were able to give. That's why I started by saying that three ways of giving is to give sacrificially. Is to give, what is the second? Joyfully. Thank you, Sister Sarah. And the third? Gracefully, generously. Okay, so they gave beyond their own abilities. Verse 4, imploring us with much agency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Because we cannot bribe God, it is very, very important that before you give to God, you first of all give yourself. Because God doesn't need our money, does he? So you give yourself, then your gift will be acceptable. But you can't just give to God and say, okay, God, you can have this money. Let me live anyhow I want to. You give yourself to God first, then your gift is acceptable to him. You give yourself to God first, then your gift will be acceptable to him. Verse 6, so we urged Titus that as he had begun, so he would also complete this grace in you as well. He will complete this grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. Hallelujah. See that you are bound. In other words, make sure that grace is at work in your life. He mentioned several things that they were abounding in. I don't want to take time. Once I go in there, but I want to leave that alone. But he said, make sure that you also abound in this grace of giving. Hallelujah. There is a special anointing to give, special grace to give. You love to give. And sometimes people even take advantage of your giving. But you are not giving because of them, you give because of God. So you look to God and not to man. If you look to man, you never give. If you look to people, you never give, but you give because of the grace of God. You can't help yourself. You can't help yourself. You just give. You are just a giver. So Apostle Paul says, see that you also abound in this grace of giving. The grace of giving is a grace that makes you generous. It's the grace of generosity. I speak not by commandment, but I'm testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. I speak not as a command. Now, this is a love offering Apostle Paul was taking for the church in Jerusalem. So he was saying that he is not commanding them by force to give. You see, when you are giving to such cause, it has to be a love offering, willingly love offering. For instance, when we take love offering for our dear brother Don in Jamaica, Brother Donovan, is it by force? It's a free will offering. We say that, oh, we want to take offering for him. I don't come and make a demand and command and put guilt trip on you to give. No. It's not a commandment. It's a free will offering. And when he received, what did he say? He said he feels like Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. So it's not a command. It's a free will offering. But if the grace of God is at work in you, you can't help yourself but to give. But if the grace of giving is not upon you, you pretend you didn't hear. Or you pretend, oh, you forgot about it. We said, oh, we'll take offering next week. You forgot. You know, there are some people who forgot who were taking offering. Do you know that they still gave? They said, oh, I forgot, but I will bring it next time, next week. Because they want to give. But there are others who deliberately, they chose to forget. Oh, it's not my fault, I forgot. So it's not by commandment. Then he's going to give us something very deep. Verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Most of the time when Apostle Paul says that we should know or you know, it means we don't know. It means we don't know. For you know the grace, that's something we are supposed to know. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That is the divine exchange. I mean, if you leave heaven to come here, that is straight away, that's your poverty. In contrast to what is in heaven, it is his poverty here. We're going to walk on streets of gold. And there will be no one to steal it because no thieves will be in heaven. Hallelujah. We're going to walk on streets of gold. That's how we are more precious than silver and gold. That's why God will make us walk on it to show us that we are more precious than silver and gold. It's going to make us walk on it. And your shoes won't even get dirty. Pure gold. Hallelujah. So, he said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So it's contrasting, you know, that because he left the glory of heaven, came here. That doesn't mean that Jesus was poor in a sense that we understand poverty, where he has nothing to eat and that kind of stuff, that he has to beg for food. And no, sir. That's not what he's referring to. Wherever he needed something, he still had access to heaven's supplies. So he was not poor in that sense. But when you compare what is available in heaven, then he came to be poor for us so that we can become rich. And the richness there It's talking about richness in God. Richness in God. Because if you have God, you have everything. If you have God, you have everything. That's why Apostle Paul can say that all things are yours. All things are made for us. Verse 10. And in this I give advice, it is your advantage not only to be doing what you have begun and were designed to do a year ago, but now you also must complete the doing of it. That as there was readiness, the desire, readiness to desire it, so there also may be a completion out of what you have. For if there is first a willing mind, to give you have to first have a willing mind. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Now, some preachers today tell people, oh, go and borrow money to give. No, sir. He said, it's according to what you have. How can you? Borrowing itself is not, God does not encourage borrowing. And sometimes it's allowed for business purposes because that is investment. But God doesn't encourage borrowing in that sense. So how can you go and borrow to give? He said it's according to what you have. Don't let preachers deceive you and take your money. It's according to what you have. The widow's mite. Jesus said she has put in more than all the rich people that put in out of their surplus. So it's according to what you have. Hallelujah. It's according to what you have. Give according to what you have. Not according to what you don't have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, the church in Jerusalem, that the abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. I'll get into that more another time, because I'm going to give you some principles later on. There's something that I missed in the verses. Someone read verse 2 for me, please, in King James 8:2. Let me see if I missed something. NIV 8:2, please. NIV. So it said trial. Thank you. Our translation was saying that it's a test. It was a test. God was testing them to see if they will help out their brothers and sisters in serious need. Yeah? God was testing them. That's what Apostle Paul was revealing. It was a test. A test is always an opportunity to demonstrate what you have, what is in you, what you are made up of. You go to school and you are tested to see if you have really learned or you are being taught. Hallelujah. So the grace of God provides motivation and grace for us to give. Grace makes provision for all our needs. Let me give this illustration. Two seas in Israel, the Sea of Galilee, and what's the other one? Thank you. Dead Sea. Now, the Sea of Galilee. Are you listening? This is very, very important. Fasten your seatbelt. The Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. They both receive from the same river. They receive their source from the same river. Yeah? Is that correct? You know your geography? They receive their source from the same river. Yeah. They receive their source from the same river. Yet, the Sea of Galilee is fresh, free flowing, because it receives from the source and it gives out. And as a result, it's always fresh. The Dead Sea, on the other hand, as its name implies, receives from that same source that the Sea of Galilee receives from, yet it never gives out. So because it never gives out, it is what? Graveyard dead. Because it doesn't give out. And that is a challenge that we have in the church. A lot of believers receive and don't give out, so they are spiritually dead. Lukewarmness. You can't just take, and don't give. Whatever God does for you, He wants to do it through you. And if you are not allowing Him to do it through you, and you just hoard, you see, hoarding is an indication that it's the fear of not having enough. That means that you are not trusting God. And so if you are not trusting God, when He gives you something, you hold on to it, say that I don't know when I can get some more, so let me hold on to this. Let me be a good steward. Let me be a good steward. Then you hoard. Let me show you some of the Proverbs. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Proverbs 11. I'm giving you a powerful key here now. The way to death is receiving and not giving. If you want to die spiritually, just take, and don't give. Proverbs, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I hope you put it on your fridge when you get home. This is the richest man that ever lived. And out of his experiences through the Holy Spirit, now he is giving us this revelation here. 11, Proverbs 11 verse 24. There is one who scatters and yet increases the more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of him who sells it. Hallelujah. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. So, this is a powerful principle given to us by King Solomon through the Holy Spirit. The richest man that ever lived, when he speaks, you better listen. He's so powerful, he had 1,000 women in his life. And this is what he's saying by the Holy Spirit. He said, he who scatters gathers the more. So the way to receiving is to give what you have. He who scatters gathers the more. And here he's not talking about just scattering aimlessly like you're a mad person. But he's talking about being generous. This is talking about generosity. Scatters, he who scatters. You share. You share. He who scatters yet increases more. And there is the one who withholds more than is right. Sometimes you have to withhold something. You need something to feed on. Hallelujah. You can't give everything away. So that's what he's saying as well. Use wisdom. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. If you water, you'll be watered. Because when you are watering, it's like you're watering someone else's seed. That seed will come to fruition, and they will bless you too for watering them when they were in need. The reason why God gives wealth is that God gives wealth to so that the rich or those who have God's wealth will bless the poor and the needy. Because the poor and needy cry out to God. And God's way of reaching out to their needs is not just dropping money from the sky, but he uses people to bless. And so when we meet people's need, we are doing the work of God. We are blessing God. That makes him happy. So he gives wealth so that we can be a blessing to others. He doesn't like it when we just hoard it for ourselves. Become greedy and exploit the poor. Exploiting, if you want the wrath of God to come upon you, exploit the poor. Hallelujah. The way to death is receiving and not giving. The way to death is receiving and not giving. The way to death is receiving. You don't want to be like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea, it's become so salty, and salt is a good thing. It preserves. It gives flavor. And yet, because it's not given out, it becomes dead. Salt is meant to be full of life. Salt preserves. And yet, because it's not given out, it has become dead. We don't want to be like that. So God wants us to be generous. God wants us to give. Hallelujah. And the reason why God wants us to be generous is that God himself is a generous God. I was listening to someone who was saying that God has, there are about 7,000 promises. 7,000 promises in the Word of God. And the number one thing that God promised about is generosity. The number one thing that God focuses on, where his blessings, where he attached blessings to, is always connected to generosity. Why? Because generosity is love in action. Generosity is love in action, and God is the God of love. And because he is a God of love, he wants us to be generous. He wants us to give. He wants us to be a blessing. He doesn't want us to be selfish. So next week, I'll give you 12 principles about giving. 12 blessings that generosity brings into our lives. Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord, to be generous. Help us, Father, to be givers. What you have given us, Father, help us to share it. Help us to be generous with our time. Help us to be generous with our abilities. Help us to be generous with our money. Help us to be generous with our talents. The gifts that you have given us, help us to be generous with it, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. One of the ways of expressing love is generosity. You can't say that you love your wife and you don't give to your wife. That is being mean. And our God is not mean. You can't say you love your children and you don't give to your children. That is being mean. The way to find out if someone truly loves is always giving. You know the depths of one's love by their degree of giving. Hallelujah. Let's welcome Stanislav to...